Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back with Jan Folger Porter. And Jan, finish that story.
Okay, so we started when we last left off with a very big, important message to keep an eye on the clock. As I should know better, I'm in radio. I used to be in radio. So they killed our ban on partial birth abortion. They killed it in committee. There was nothing that could be done. And I had remembered, it was kind of like a movie. A state rep by the name of Lou Blessing told me a thing about a discharge petition, and I never forgot it. It was like one of those things that, like, I need to remember this. There's some day I'm gonna need this.
I remember this.
Yeah. So I brought it up in this meeting, and they all, you know, oh, Jan, you know, the time's running out. We'll get them next year, and and all those same things. I said, no, we got to try. And there was only one legislator who tried with me for the discharge petition to pull this bill out of a hostile committee. It had never happened before in Ohio history. And we started gathering names, and I think it was in 2 days' time. The only legislator who helped me was Ron Hood. We got this bill with 50. Actually, we needed only 50 out of the 99. And Mike Fox said, I'll sign it, too. And I just drew a line. No one said I could, and I just drew another line. And we had 51 names. That was how the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion was passed, and it was passed because of one legislator named Ron Hood, who joined with me in this effort. Candace Keller, also his sidekick, and came back, runs a pregnancy center, and then was his co-sponsor, as his joint sponsor, rather, in the heartbeat bill. And they are, in my opinion, the very, very best candidates who are running for governor, Ron Hood and Candace Keller. I know, because I've experienced what they've done from the front row, from the front lines of this battle. I have seen them in action, and there is no one as battle tested, there is no one as proven as Ron Hood and Candace Keller.
And I remember Ron Hood and Matt Lynn standing shoulder to shoulder, and they were kind of being bloodied by the communists there, that's what I call them, but they never backed down.
Never.
Ron, you need to have Ron contact me, because we need to give him some airtime. We need to bring the two of you on together, and
we got a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah, you sure do, because we've been around for a while and doing all of this, so very good. Now, we had talked about earlier about the Nuremberg trials. What is going on is, you know, here, what is happening in America, they have violated the law. They have violated, the Nuremberg contract. And so these people need to be brought to justice, and that's exactly what Reinhard Fuller was about to do. He wants to bring them to justice. So we're going to play some of this clip, and he can tell us, but he mentions the people that they got to be brought to justice. Now, he's leading up a group of 500 international lawyers, and their goal is to bring Fauci, Bill Gates, Soros, all of these people to justice. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead and play some of that.
My name is Rainer Füllmich, and it is my pleasure to serve as one member of a group of distinguished international attorneys and lawyers who have been collaborating on this very important case for many months now. This case, involving the most heinous crimes against humanity committed under the guise of a corona pandemic on a global scale, looks complicated only at first glance. But when you put together all those pieces, all those little pieces of the puzzle, as we will do this for you with the help of many renowned experts and other witnesses during this proceeding, you will see four sets of facts. One, there is no corona pandemic, but only a PCR test plandemic, fueled by an elaborate psychological operation designed to create a constant state of panic among the world's population. This agenda has been long planned. It's ultimately unsuccessful. Precursor was the swine flu some 12 years ago. And it was cooked up by a group of super rich, psychopathic, and sociopathic people who hate and fear people at the same time, have no empathy, and are driven by the desire to gain full control over all of us, the people of the world. They are using our governments and the mainstream media, both of which they literally own, to convey their panic propaganda 24/7. Two, the virus itself can be treated safely and effectively with vitamin C, D, zinc, etc., and also with off-label use of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, etc. But all these, not alternative methods of treatment, but real methods of treatment, were banned by those who are using the guise of this pandemic to push their ultimate goal, which is to get everyone to receive the, as we will show in this proceeding, not only ineffective but highly dangerous, yes, lethal, experimental injections. Three, the same people who made the swine flu, which ultimately turned out to be a mild flu, into a pandemic 12 years ago by first changing the definition of what a pandemic is and then creating panic, created this corona pandemic. The swine flu was their first real attempt at creating a pandemic. And just as one of its purposes then was to divert our attention from the blatantly fraudulent activities of their financial industry, more aptly to be called a financial mafia, which had become visible through the Lehman crisis, this is also one of their major purposes of this corona pandemic now. Had we taken a closer look then, during the Lehman crisis, instead of blindly believing our governments, government's promises that the perpetrators of those financial crimes will be held liable, we would have seen then that they had been looting and plundering our public coffers for decades. And we would have seen that our governments are not our governments anymore. Rather, they have been taken over by the other side through their main platform, the World Economic Forum, which had started to create their own global leaders through their Young Global Leaders program as early as 1992. Two of the first graduates being Angela Merkel and Bill Gates. And we would have understood already then what we will show you now through this proceeding. These financial crimes went unchallenged by our politicians because they're aiding and abetting those who commit them and profiting from these crimes. Four. Ultimately, however, we will show to you, the jury, that the other side's main purpose is to gain full and complete control over all of us. This involves the finalization of their looting and plundering by deliberately destroying our small and medium-sized businesses, retail businesses, hotel and restaurants, so that platforms such as Amazon can take over. And this involves population control, which in their view requires both a massive reduction of the population and manipulating the DNA of the remaining population with the help, for example, of mRNA experimental injections. But it also requires, in their view, the deliberate destruction of democracy, of the rule of law, and of our constitutions through chaos, so that ultimately we will agree to losing our national and cultural identities and instead will accept a one-world government under the UN, which is now under the full control of them and their World Economic Forum, a digital passport through which each and every move is monitored and controlled, and one digital currency, which we will only be able to receive from one world bank, theirs, of course. At the conclusion of the case, and after you have heard all the evidence, we are confident that you will recommend indictments against all six putative figurehead defendants, Christian Drosten of Germany, Anthony Fauci of the United States, Tedros of the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Pfizer. Ladies and gentlemen, this case is about a long-planned agenda of a group of ultra-rich people and their financial mafia based in the city of London and on Wall Street to use a pseudo-pandemic as the guise behind which, while our attention is on the pandemic, they want to complete their decades-long efforts to gain full and complete control over all of us. There are numerous platforms on which this group has been meeting and discussing this agenda, but the most important one is that of the World Economic Forum, which was invented in 1971 by a then 33-year-old Klaus Schwab. Its members are 1,000 global corporations with at least $5 billion U.S. dollars in annual sales, politicians, media representatives, scientists, and other so-called high-profile personality. They meet once a year in Davos, but there are other such meetings, for example, in China.
And okay, we're going to stop it right there. But see, again, you know, I had a chaplain say to me, look, you know, The Bible says all of this is going to happen. You know, the Bible says the Antichrist is going to rise up, and all of these things that are happening today is going to happen. So why resist it? Why fight against it? You'll be fighting against God. There's a real problem with that mindset. Unfortunately, that's a mindset of too many people in the pulpit. And you know what the problem with that is? God's Word, the Bible, gives us three missions. Three missions. Mission one, of course, is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. You know. But mission number two, from Genesis to Revelation, well, starting with Moses' mother, father, Shiphrah and Puah, okay, going all the way down to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And so that's mission number two, from Genesis to Revelation. Mission three, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, he tells you what? That we are to hold true the traditions of the apostles, stand fast, don't give up ground, and occupy until he comes. Now, those aren't suggestions, okay? That's so what he says about, and when people say, well, boy, look, I mean, look, it seems like the odds are so against us. It seems like they're overwhelming. God says what? He, when he comes, he'll bring the victory with him. He said that victory part's his. What we are to do is be obedient, right? And stand fast. So there you go. What do you think about all that?
Well, you add to that 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said that there's a checklist, and the checklist is to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. And the part that most people forget is the turn from our wicked ways. So then God says then he'll hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, he'll heal our land. But it doesn't say, hey, just let it go to hell in a handbasket, and then, you know, then the end will happen, Revelation will be ushered in. No, he tells us to obey him, and that we are to occupy. We are to take dominion, and that is what we're supposed to do. And, I mean, that's what David said when he looked at Goliath. He didn't say, well, you know, you guys are big and you're strong, got a big giant, and that's too bad, and I guess the end is coming. No, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dare defy the armies of the living God? Just because there are people who occupy our land, it doesn't mean it belongs to them. We are to occupy until he comes. We're to advance the kingdom of God. And I just believe there's too many Christians that are cowering in the corner when we need patriots, like the Black Robe Regiment of our founders. Those are the pastors who took off their robe and went and fought in the revolution. You know what? This is the thing. They, as I mentioned, they gave their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. They put it all on the line. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We're like, well, you know, it's really hard. And I don't want to run for Congress because, I went through this in my own mind. You know, do I want to get beat up again? Do I want to have this kind of, you know, sliming from the swamp? I really don't. But you want to know something? America's worth it. If you care about freedom, then the only way to keep it, the only way to keep our freedom is to use our freedom. And that is right now. Because if we don't use it now, we're going to forever wish we had. Because we're getting a very, very close glimpse. Marxism isn't at the door. It is here. They're teaching it to our children. They're teaching them lies. And as you're right, Pastor, you said it, when if they could have invented new sins, it seems that would end up in the platform. That's the party that booed God. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, yes. And they kicked God out by vote.
Yeah.
Yes. By vote.
And then lied about that.
That's exactly right. The next day. Yes. Yeah.
Now, at the same time, even though the Republican platform stands for very many of the right things, the biblical values that we believe, the people who are Republicans, especially in leadership, have sold that out. And so I remember we ran full page ads. We took a full page ad and we ran like a big fat rhino. The whole ad was a rhino, and we put people's names over it, like John Eklund. Remember that? And we asked them, are they Republican or are they a rhino? And take the test. We sent them postcards to take the test.
I remember.
Are you Republican in name only? Are you going to adhere to the pro-life plank of the platform? And they sadly chose wrong too many times.
You know what? I remember something happened. We had. You had gotten one of those big plastic rhinos.
Yep, full-size rhino.
Right, and so what happened was it was on the steps of the State House.
Yeah.
Matt Lynch and I walked, we were looking at this thing, we were standing behind it, and the next day our pictures ended up in the paper. right there with the words rhino. Yeah.
Well, it's because you were standing up against the rhinos. Of course, yeah. they made it look like whatever they wanted. But so I just know this. I mean, if you, again, want somebody that's going to fight rhinos in Washington, pick somebody who's already been fighting rhinos and successfully. I mean, literally, they said it can't be done. They blocked us for almost a decade. And they say, Janet, how did the Heartbeat Bill pass in Ohio? If I were to summarize it in one, you know, one sentence, it's we just didn't quit. We wouldn't quit. And that we wore them out. I mean, we did everything there was to do from, I mean, I own a
We kept coming back. And
that's
got,
right.
We got betrayed and double-crossed.
Over and over and over again.
Kasich.
Oh, and I will say we came within one vote of overriding him. I drove through the blizzard to bring back our swing vote, and then Bill Beagle sold us out. He was a guy that voted the right way the first time, and then John Kasich got to him, and he voted wrong. But this is not something they can ever say. They can never say they're pro-life again. John Kasich can never have that label because he single-handedly, you know, voted to kill more children than anyone else in Ohio history. So this is the deal. God is famous for working through remnants. If you feel hopeless right now and it looks kind of bleak, let me tell you something. When we passed the Heartbeat Bill in Ohio, it wasn't a big army. I remember I'd come on this show, but there were times, Pastor, you know this, when we were going proactive in going after some of these guys who were blocking us. And it's funny because some of these pro-life groups that were upset about that, they're now asking in their questionnaires, will you go after those that are fighting us? I thought that's an interesting question coming from a group that didn't do it. But here's the deal. If we had a huge army, we'd say, oh, that's how you did it. No, it was a hand. There were times I could count my friends on one hand. And I remember Mark Crutcher. I asked him one time. He said, how's it going, Jan? I said, well, they're blocking our bill in the Senate. They're blocking our bill in Congress. I said, it's not going so well. I said, we're running against these guys. We're filing against them. We're running ads. We're running, you know, all kinds of things. It's commercials. And he says, I said, I can count my friends on one hand. He says, Janet, did you go down to Columbus to make friends? Or did you go down there to end abortion?
Yep.
And the answer is end abortion. And it's way better than every photo op they'll give you, any friendship you can have, because that is the purpose. That's why we came, and we didn't leave until we got what we came for.
Well, the other thing you pointed out and on your Second Chronicles 7:14, and I was just sitting here thinking about that, is that God also didn't say it had to be a majority. He just said his people.
That's right.
And it could be two people. It could be 100 people. It could be whatever.
He would have spared Sodom for 10.
And also, he doesn't take you out of yourself. You can humble yourself. You can pray. You can seek his face. You can do those things, and he's not asking you to do anything that you can't do. The ultimate fighting of the battle, God fights the battle. The battle is the Lord's.
You know, you remember The Return? They had a big prayer meeting back in 2020. Franklin Graham had another prayer meeting. It was just a great big rally in Washington.
I remember that.
Yeah, right. I was there and was asked to pray, and one of the things I prayed was, and in every election cycle we hear it, every single election as long as I've been alive, we hear 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah.
But every year, there's something that's always bothered me. It's that we never did the fourth point. We humble ourselves. Sometimes we pray. You know, we seek his face from time to time, but we had not turned from our wicked ways.
But
that day, it was, I'm trying to remember, I think it was September, October of, maybe it was earlier. It was just before the election in 2020.
Well, it seems to me it was colder then.
Yeah.
So I think summer was over.
Yeah, well, I stood there, and I gave my prayer, and my prayer was basically that we, as we humble ourselves and seek your face as we pray, we acknowledge, God, that there is a remnant that did turn from their wicked ways. And I read off, at that time, there were 10 states that had passed heartbeat bills. And it was, I felt a little bit like Abraham lobbying for you know, the people of Sodom, right?
Yeah.
And because there were 10 righteous states, plus Alabama, that makes 11, that they had protected children from conception. And that was, and as I read off the states, the crowd was cheering because it was the first time in my life where we could tell God there were 10 places that did, in fact, turn from their wicked ways to the extent that we could. And that, I think, means something. I don't think that the judgment is coming on America at the precise time when we've actually ended abortion in one state, now two, soon to be three, in real time. Not just bills that go before the court, but real enacted bills that save babies today, that save 100 babies in Texas today, 100 babies in Texas tomorrow, another 100 in Idaho next week. This is what we're looking at, a place in America that doesn't kill children, whose heartbeats can be heard. And I believe that there's something to the fact that we did, in fact, turn from our wicked ways. We have stopped the killing of children in a couple of states, only to be multiplied, and that means something. That means something because the end of abortion has begun.
Well, you know, when what's happening out there today, too often, you'll hear people say, well, you have to learn to separate your politics from your faith. They can be separate. So if we take a look at the God's Word, the Bible, every prophet, every preacher, every priest, every man of God from Genesis to Revelation, and none ensued this like the Lord Jesus, their faith and their politics were one of the same. They were totally inseparable. They were one of the very same. And today you've got these preachers out there telling you, well, we have to separate our faith from our politics.
You know, one of the things David Barton said when he came and spoke at our breakfast a couple of weeks ago, he talked about the pastors in the revolution, you know, right preceding the revolution. And they actually gave sermons on abortion. They gave sermons on life and the current events of the day. And he said, you know what's happening right now? They tried. They went around and they tried to get pastors, and they reported them. They went to the IRS and said, hey, you know, Pastor Sanders and Pastor Smith and Pastor Jones, they're violating this so-called Johnson Amendment, some of which is still standing. They're actually getting involved in elections and telling people who they're voting for, flat out telling them who they're voting for. And the IRS wouldn't take the case. Do you know why? Because they would fail, and they would rather have every pastor in America censor. They would rather have them remain silent, censor themselves, and not speak the truth, because that's where their victory. They've muted the pastor, the voices that need to be the watchman on the wall, and now there's blood on their hands because they did not sound the alarm.
Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56, verse 10, right? Isaiah, it talks about my shepherds are dumb dogs, too afraid to bark. But here's the reason for that, Jim. Now, we still have a black robe regiment, I know. What was I wearing when I preached a couple weeks ago?
Oh, absolutely, the
yes.
black robe.
I was wearing my black robe out there.
Yes,
and
sure.
And we never, when DeWine says that the churches had to be closed, well, he could have left the abortion mills open. Our church didn't close. Our church didn't close at all, not for one day, not for 10 minutes.
By the way, I called him, and I told him that this non-essential business of abortion remains open, and contrary to your order. And he said he'd look into it, and we started calling around. And we found out that they're all still doing them. They're all still killing kids.
Yeah.
And we did that in a handful of states, and we stopped abortion in a handful of states, including Texas, that went to the appellate court and ended abortion. Before the heartbeat bill ever passed in Texas, we ended abortion during the COVID shutdown. That not only there, in Oklahoma, in Iowa, and partially in Ohio. We did get some closed here. So when they say, oh, you know, we can't ever end abortion, the abortion mills, the end of the world if the abortion mills close. No, we've already had that happen back in 2020, and it will happen again.
Well, we have a policy from day one in our ministry 50 years ago, for the last 50 years, and that is when in doubt, charge. When not in doubt, charge anyway. That's the way you do it.
Double down.
We're out here. One can chase 1,000, two 10,000, and like we said, it's not over with till we win. That's and we have to go out there. I remember one day I was on that, it used to be the morning exchange there.
I remember that.
And they asked me, I was on there with one of the abortion chamber managers, whatever. And the question was, what is it going to take to make you people give up? And I said, you know what, that's a good question. I never thought about giving up. I said, it never occurred to me.
The end of abortion.
Up.
There's your answer right there. Then we stop. We do something else.
Right, well, we have to do something else now because we're involved with, you know, these shots, these so-called vaccines. People are going to die. They're dying in large numbers. For every person that has died from the COVID, You will see 12. The 12 will die.
Is it up to 12?
Yeah, from right now, and that's happening. And it's being totally quiet, totally shut down by the fake news media.
Well, you know what they're doing? They're saying that if you die after the vaccine, they're going to say you're not really vaccinated because they don't count it until it's certain 14 days or something.
14 days. Yeah, that's correct. The other thing that, speaking of that, is that Luc Montagnier passed in February at the age of 90. The virologist who co-won the Nobel Prize with Robert Gallo, the ex-head of CDC, and Montagnier's prediction is that all the people that have been vaccinated within 8 years, they will die. He's a very credible source.
Can I interject something here? Because, you know, I know there's people who are listening right now that are like me, that have family members that have done this.
Oh, y'all in my
family. Oh, yeah.
And this is what I want to say. You read in the Bible about, was it Elijah, pastor, that put the flour in the stew to remove the poison?
Elisha.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so here's the deal. If God can take poison out of a stew, he can take poison out of a body.
Exactly.
And that's what I've been praying. Yes, we got to fight this, but if you've already had this thing, don't get any more boosters. But I just want to say that we have a God who heals, who paid for our healing on the cross. It's paid for. He said, by his stripes we were healed. And so God can heal even from mistakes we make. He can heal from cancer. He can heal from the poison jab, the death jab. He can heal.
We've had numerous speakers on this program who have protocol for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wendy Wilson is one. That's how she makes her living, detoxing people from this. And there's some ways that you can do that. In fact, there's kits out there to detox kits now.
Where do you get them, Pastor?
You can call people like Wendy Wilson.
Cass Ingram's been on
Ingram.
Here. Peter Glidden's been on here. Elaine Connolly comes on here. All of these people. I'll be happy to share all that with you.
I want all that information.
Okay, sure.
But let me tell you one of the things that I want to do when I get in Congress. I had this idea, and I see all these people that are being forced to take the jab to have employment, or, you know, they're turning people away from medical conditions because, well, you know, your parents aren't vaccinated. And so here's the deal. They are, and I talked about this a while back, they're violating international law, the Nuremberg Code, when they force you to do this. By the way,
we have that, by the way.
Pardon me?
We have the Nuremberg disclaimer as well as a religious one.
Yes,
we
and that's
that.
Good. But here's what I want to do. When I get there, I want to introduce it as an amendment to the budget, the Nuremberg Amendment. And what we do is we say, if you are forcing this, you know, as you call it, the bioweapon, this experimental drug, if you're being injected, by the way, the Nuremberg Code requires you have to have informed consent before you do this, right?
Absolutely.
So, all right, so if you do it, if you're a state that requires a jab for education or for travel, for all those travel passports, vaccine passports, medical treatment, or the purchase of goods and services. I was just in D.C., and they have the signs. Unless you're vaccinated, you can't come in. What I want to do is say, if you are requiring this, if you're violating the Nuremberg Code, then we will take your funding from you. And that I think is a very basic thing. And as we're sitting here talking about this, listening to that trial, Pastor, I'm thinking, you know what? What else needs to go in that bill? We need an additional amendment in this thing that says we need a hearing, a congressional hearing, so that it's not just some committee that's off to the side that no one's paying attention to, but it's got legal standing that when we find what the truth is coming out, when this happens in a committee, in a legal congressional committee, there can be justice. And that's what I'd like to do.
You know something else that I think that people would like to see you do so that we don't ever have the rise of a Fauci again is that people with vested interests in things shouldn't be for instance, like Fauci making money on the whole thing and people that may have vested interests. Why are they spokesmen for the government or representatives of the government?
Yes,
his wife was one of the head of the CDC.
Absolutely. Okay, right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, but there's, you know, it's riff with it. It used to be that wouldn't
it's
have
corrupt.
Happened.
The corruption is, you know, and that's what we have to do. One of the things, if we get back control of Congress and the Senate, we've got to get a Department of Justice, okay?
Right.
We've got to clean up the FBI. They've become so dirty, and the CIA. I mean, and we've got to, like Trump wanted to do, drain the swamp, okay?
You know what I pray for almost every day, even more than I pray for myself? I pray for President Trump with the people surrounding him. because there's some swamp creatures that get involved in the inner circle and give bad advice and bad counsel. And that's a very important thing. We need to make sure that we've got discernment when we're dealing with these issues, these people.
It would seem to me you'd have to get rid of the entire Justice Department.
Yeah,
I mean, the problem isn't the head. It's you've got to get rid of the entire Justice Department and basically start it over.
Yeah, I think there's some merit to that. Yeah. Let me ask you, Pastor. You've been on the front edge, the cutting edge of issues before anybody else has ever heard of them. I remember that even back in the 80s, for as long as I've known you. If you were to say, what is the one thing? I've been asking people this all around. What is the one thing that you want to see? We're going to get the heartbeat bill. That's first on my list, right? So don't pick that one. What would be the one thing you'd want to see? What bill that could help set us back on course? What would it be?
Boy, that would take. I'd have to think about that really, because there's one bill I would like to see. This nation go back to being one nation under God. I would like to see God put back in the public school system, God put back in the media, God back in everything, okay? But especially, you know, within the public school systems. And this nation was founded one nation under God, and I'd like to see it back that way. But we're going to...
Randy? We got a break?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break.
Think about it.
Then we're going to open the phone lines to take some calls. So take her away. All righty, we're back, and we have with us here tonight, Janet Folger-Porter, and she is candidate for the 13th Congressional District here in Ohio, and we're going to fight like everything to get her in there, because I've known this young woman for a long, long time, and she's a fighter, and she's a scrapper, and she loves the baby. She does. She loves life. And so we're going to do all we can to make sure we win this. And so now, see, I can't actually say, for the people out there listening, under the FCC rules, I can't tell people to vote for you, okay? Mm-hmm. But I can say we're going to fight like everything we can, right? Okay. So let's go out to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Teresa. Teresa, you're in the air.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say something that I read this week in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 through 4. It says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priests, the men of God, that's what I added, shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart be faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. And I agree with you, Pastor, that we need to put prayer back in schools and all the public activities and meetings. Thank you.
You know, Teresa, one time some years ago, we were out in front of that bloody preterm abortion mill, and I had about five people with me, and I was preaching to the witches up there. And what happened, the Satanists came out, and there was about 40 of them. And their leader came over to me and said, don't you realize that you're kind of outnumbered here, aren't you? And I told him, I turned to my people and I said, look, you heard what he says. There's too many of them. They all can't get away, so you have no excuse. And when I said that, they dispersed. Yeah.
Amen.
It ain't over with till we win. Thank you, Teresa. Let's go to John in Minnesota.
Yeah, you guys, this is a great program. I have a question for Janet because it's really affecting us personally with these court decisions. And in Minnesota is like a sanctuary for abortion. The states around us are getting more conservative. And one of the chains that started in Minnesota moved to Texas, started four abortion centers. And we know that they're really hurting for business because we're starting to see traffic being diverted back up here to Minnesota. So my question is, Janet, what do we do to fight this growing trend that we know is coming into a liberal state like ours?
Well, one of the things
we combat.
There's two things you can do. One is you can introduce a heartbeat bill in your state, and I know it's tough to do in some states. It was tough to do in Ohio. It took a decade. You know, I remember I went to Texas and I shamed them. I said, if a purple state of Ohio can do it, surely the great state of Texas can. And I listed other Republican House and Senate and governor. By the way, it's catching on. It's not as hard to pass as it once was when they told us it was, you know, when we were, it was just, at one time it was just Janet's pipe dream, her wishful thinking. Now it's reality. And anybody that fights you on it is not pro-life because it is the one bill that has worked in America. So there's trying to get it in your state, and I know some states are tough, but one of the reasons I'm running for Congress is I want to get a federal heartbeat bill. I want to go after some of these states that are killing them till birth. We were on the program a couple of weeks ago talking about, was it Maryland?
Maryland,
that wants to kill children
28 days after birth.
Yeah. Now, that gladly has not been through yet, but we've got to stop it. I mean, the fact that it's even being considered is appalling. So what I want to do is I want to get a federal heartbeat bill. And I'll tell you, people don't know how close we came. We had 174 co-sponsors, more than any other pro-life bill, and we had the 44 votes needed to pass it. Now they're saying we need a 60-vote margin in the Senate, but I'm going to make a prediction here. I believe that what we're going to see in this next election, even with the fraud that remains, I believe we're going to see a red tidal wave. It's going to be coming in like we've never seen in recent history, and we're going to see, I believe, a shift, a change. And one of the things I want to do, John, is I want to try and guard against the rhino obstruction. That's what we've got to fight against, right? That's what I fought. So what if we gathered all the freshmen together and we formed a team and we said, listen, let's make sure that our vote, when we're voting for leadership, that's the first vote you cast, that they have to adhere to a list of things, like a contract, if you will. And we put together a list and say, this is your first vote. Let's make sure it counts. And, you know, as we talked about our founders giving up their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honors, we got to not be willing to trade these freedoms for a committee assignment or a chairmanship or whatever perk they might ever plan to give you. We've got to stop that. And I believe that there's a new wave of people who haven't been bought and paid for. And I believe that we can actually get a vote on these bills that matter.
Hey, John, thanks. I got to move on, though. The board's lit. Let's go to Mike in Lakeland, Florida.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. I think the best thing we can do is put God and the Pledge of Allegiance back into our schools.
That's a good word. Hey, let me ask you something, Mike. What does that bill look like? I'm trying to figure out how to write it. What does it look like to put God back in school? Is it just allow for the prayer, for the moment of silence? How would you do it?
Everything. Our whole country has lost God. So we need everybody, all the good people of the Lord, need to start proclaiming they love God, and they need to put him back into our schools. That's where it all starts.
Amen.
I don't know how to write it up. I'm not that smart. But I just know that would be the best thing we could ever do.
Thank you. We're going to pray about how.
We do that by starting each day with a Bible reading from Scripture there. And again, with prayer. It worked when I was a kid, and I turned out, right?
Yes, you did.
There was a question for a while, but we're all right.
All right, there you go. Let's go to Julie in New Jersey. Hey, Julie, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're in the air.
Hey,
go
Julie.
Ahead.
Oh, you guys are great. But, Pastor, I want to say one thing. Last night, you got a terrible call, a disturbing call from a man from Pennsylvania blaming Jewish people like me for trying to wreck the United States, their country. He was very disturbing and anti-Semitic. You know, everybody blames the Jews or Israel. We're not trying. We're only 15 million people in the world. That's it. There's only 15 million Jewish men, women, and children in the world. It was a call before Cliff from Pennsylvania blaming...
Well, do you remember what I told him? The answer,
you're right.
The answer to his question, if he was to go there, go to Romans chapter 9, read that, and then go to Revelation chapter 3, the last part, starting with the Church of Philadelphia. Read that. That answers his question. It distinguishes what is a Jew.
You know, I want to interject here, too. I think this is an important point, Julie. There's so much anti-Semitism going on right now, and it's the squad is promoting it. Man, I can't wait to take them on. Honestly, I can't. But one of the things that I see is that just this assault. I remember when Obama, remember when Prime Minister, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was left sitting there and Obama left him there while he went to eat dinner.
Oh,
it was appalling. And I was so disgusted by this. I had just gotten married. I remember I got up in the middle of the night and I said, what can I do? God, I want to do something. We didn't have any money. What can we do? And I just thought, you know what? When you want to encourage someone in America, we send roses. And what kind of roses? Well, yellow is the symbol for friendship. So I got on the air and I said, let's send roses to Israel. And everyone had attached a Bible verse about being able to build on your own land, which was the point of contention. And so I got on the air. We ended up sending 30,000 roses, yellow roses to Israel. They went to soldiers who had been wounded. To 300 was the bouquet that the prime minister got. But we stood with Israel with full page ads, with television commercials nationally on Fox. And honestly, I mean, I told my husband, who is Jewish, I said, I'm so pro-Israel. There's one day I was so mad at him. I said, the only reason I'm being nice to you right now is because you're Jewish. I mean, I just believe we've got to stand for God's people. You're the chosen people. We are just merely grafted into that vine. And I just want to say, say, one of the things I want to do when we balance the budget is to take the money from the countries that hate us and hate Israel. Those, the enemies of America and the enemies of Israel, need to be defunded right now, right. And that's the first step to balancing the budget.
Only Trump and the Republicans are pro-Israel, and I'm in Israel almost every other month. I work for an airline, so I've been there over hundreds of times in the last 38 years, and they can't wait for Trump to come back.
Yeah, we can't either.
They love him there.
Well, this coming Sunday at the 6 o'clock service, we're going to have Dr. Reichman, and he is a converted Jew, okay, and he is going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 6 p.m., and we're going to take a look at in the Passover dinner, and we're going to show you where Jesus is in every part of that dinner out there. So it's at 6 p.m., Dr. Reichman, this coming Sunday. Okay.
That's great.
And then you know what I'm going to be preaching on probably Sunday morning is this. If you're left behind, when the rapture takes place and you're still here, what do you do? Okay. That's what I'm going to be preaching on. So. It'll be a good one. I got to move on, but thanks, Julie. Let's go to Sean in Denver.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for what you're doing out there.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. I just want to comment on, I've heard so many people say, well, you know, God's not in the schools anymore. No, God is still here. It's just people in the church, unfortunately, have given into the bullying and the people saying, well, you can't do this and that. I've heard there are some schools where you can still pray. No, God is still here, but we need to not have that attitude. He's not in the, no, he's still around. You know, but that's the thing, we have his attitude, oh, he's not here anymore. No, because we've given in to people pushing us, saying, you know, you can't do this and that. So, well, we got to stand our ground.
Amen. You know, Sean, they say,
go ahead.
I was going to say, as long as there's tests, they say there'll be prayer in school, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Hey, God is always here for it, but we got to recognize it. And, yeah, let the people be nice to them, but let them know, says, no, this is God's place. He's still here. He's the one that's in control. And like with the abortion, I hear girls, they say, well, this is my body. Whenever they say it to you, I tell them, I look at them and say, no, that's not your body. That's God's body. He created you. He created that body in you. And I tell them, says, you know, you need to acknowledge that he's there. And someone will say, well, I don't believe in him. He still exists. He's still
Scripture
there.
Says you're not your own, huh?
But you got to give it to him. And, you know, and I try to be nicer, but I let them know. And I've had some girls like, well, yeah, you're right. Some would walk away. But it's like, we just need to let them know. I said, no, there is someone named Jesus Christ. He is real. We got to give it to him. Let him control us. But we got to believe him and trust him. And we got to turn away and repent.
All right, thanks, Sean. Got to move on. Wanda in Michigan. Hey, Wanda, you're in the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Wanda.
Hey, Janet. I actually live in Grand Rapids, Michigan now, but I was born and raised, as you know, Janet, in California. And what a mess it is there. You probably know Gruesome Newsom just decided to make California like the sanctuary for criminal abortionists who are hiding from having, you know, charges filed against them. So now it's supposed to be the sanctuary city for criminal abortionists. Is there any hope for California? My heart is really there.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, and we're talking about what you can do with this, with the Texas law as written, and how we can amend it to other states. But one of the things you can do is if you aid or abet an abortion. All right, say you're an Uber driver and you cross state lines. You're announcing, not just because you happen to be driving somebody, you don't know where you're going, but if you're specifically saying, I'm driving people to the airport for free to kill their child, or across state lines, we can go after them. And if you are an abortionist and you run to another state like California, if you kill the child in Texas, you're still accountable for your crimes, even if you leave the state, like any other crime. And so, and by the way, one of the reasons why I think we desperately need a federal heartbeat bill is for situations just like that. You know, we talked in a show earlier tonight about defunding sanctuary cities. These are cities that are violating the law, that are harboring people who are breaking the law. And the same holds true when it comes to the issue of killing children. If we get a federal heartbeat bill, we can protect almost almost every child throughout the country. And the Supreme Court doesn't have the votes to strike it down with that civil penalty. That's the beautiful thing. People don't understand that Roe is dead. If we can pass heartbeat bills, we can end abortion. And if we can get it in Congress, it's a first step. It's not all of them yet. It will be, as we're seeing in Oklahoma. And I believe that's gonna affect not just California, but New York, Virginia, all these states that are really moving toward Maryland, wants to kill them 28 days after birth. I don't know which state wants to kill them till they're toddlers or teenagers or, you know.
New York is another one of those, and New Jersey.
Sure. So that's, I think, the thing. If you want to see a federal heartbeat bill, then you want somebody not only that's for it, that's fought for it, that wouldn't give up on it, but somebody that also fought through the rhino obstruction to get it there. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm running. I'm just going to say life is our first right.
All right.
You don't get that one right, you get them all wrong.
Wanda, thanks for calling. We're out of time for tonight. Again, our guest tonight has been Janet Folger Porter, and she is running for Congress in the 13th Congressional District, and you'll be hearing a lot more of her as we go, because she's ready to go and rumble, okay?
By the way, Pastor, you don't have to live in the district to help out. You can just go to JanetFolgerPorter.com, and you can help. If you want to put your faith to action, if you like or agree with anything I had to say, put your faith to action. Help us out. JanetFolgerPorter.com. A gift of any amount will help. But if you're a single person, you can give up to $2,900, $5,800 for a couple, and that pays for half a mailing to the targeted voters. So JanetFolgerPorter.com sure could use your help.
No matter what state you live in, you can help her out, folks. Okay, so very good. Well, we are out of time. We're up at what, 3? Okay, now, as I told you before, I'm going to be preaching on what happens if you're left behind this Sunday morning. And, well, God's Word, the Bible has a lot to say on that. But the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter. There's going to be a whole lot of people by this exact time tomorrow, a whole lot of people, even millions, that are in the world tonight will not be here. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They're going to die.
Yeah.
That happens every single night. Now, and listen to this. The vast majority of them have no intention of dying, you see. It's not their call. The time of our departure has been predetermined. God makes that very clear. So, folks, it's not a tragedy to die. Everybody's going to die. To die in your sin is another story. That is a real tragedy. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to do it, right? God is merciful, and the Lord Jesus, he took your place. He took your place if you accept him. Do you know when the Lord Jesus said upon the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know what they know not what they do." And they were yelling, and they were, "Crucify, crucify." Well, you know, the requirement that the Father required was those very same people that were yelling, "Crucify," now had to repent, and they had to ask that very one that they wanted to crucify to forgive them and be the Lord of their life. That was the requirement if they didn't do that. And folks out there, listen, you and I, all of us out there are going to stand before the Lord someday. The Bible says it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. You don't want to die in your sin. Here's what you do. Jesus made it very clear. You pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness. Then you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, with no exceptions, Father, or folks, no exceptions. And if you do that, God will always honor. He will always honor that. And so you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and you will be on the road to eternal life. You've got God's word on it. You've got God's word on that. But don't wait till tomorrow, because you may not have one. So you want to do that this very night. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. So now we're up against the clock as we are at this time every night. We're running out of time. Thanks for being here, Janet.
Thank you, Pastor.
You did it. We're going to get you back real soon.
You've got an open invitation
to be here with us.
Thank you.
And then, folks, until tomorrow night, as we always say, good night, God bless, and always, always, let's do it. Ready?
Keep fighting the fight!
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left,
hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
What does the housing market look like for Charlotte in 2022? It's still a hot, hot, hot market. That's why RealSure is there, helping people sell their homes quickly and easily. Get a competitive cash offer on your place and list your home to see if you can even beat that offer. RealSure is a new concept in home selling offered by some of the biggest names in real estate. It's simple. Get your offer at realsure.com/pod.